Welcome to Opening the Door Podcast. Join me as we unlock the door to our psychic, intuitive, and mediumship abilities. Come along as we explore how to get in touch with our intuition, expand our mediumship, and open plenty of other doors to every aspect of spirituality, consciousness, and magic along the way. Hey, key holders. Today you'll hear a conversation I had with Kelly about trance channeling. We really get into what it feels like to trance channel, her journey with trance channeling, and like the mechanics of it. This is really a fascinating topic, and I am sure it won't be the last episode that we have on this topic. Kelly is married to Nathaniel, who was on episode 69, so it's been fun to have them both on the podcast at this point. We also get a little bit into consciousness, like how consciousness works during trance channeling, what Kelly thinks about that, and it was overall a really fun, fascinating conversation. I have to call myself out and say that as I was editing this back, I was hearing myself read Kelly's opening bio, and I accidentally say in the opening bio that Kelly is a trance channeler, and I guess I just had like a weird brain moment where I just didn't read trance right, so forgive me for that. Before we start into this episode, I have a new mini reading option that I want to tell you about. This is only available for the month of April, so if you're listening in real time, it is April 2024. It's called Spring Cleaning. So this is my Spring Cleaning mini reading available for April 2024. This is a psychic reading where I'll tap into your energy and receive what your soul is ready to let go of, what blockages or ways of thinking your soul is ready to let go of, and also what magic and energies your soul is ready to invite in for the spring. So this is a fun new mini reading option for you, and you can learn more about that. I will put the link in the show notes for you, as well as all of Kelly's links to go follow her on social and visit their website as well. Enjoy the episode, and remember, don't be afraid to open your door. Today, we're welcoming Kelly to Opening the Door. Kelly is a trained chance channeler with over 12 years of experience and a lifetime of talking to spirit. She's passionate about channeling her two master guides for others so they can bring guidance and healing directly to you as if you were talking to a wise friend. She currently offers private trance channeling sessions as well as a series of free pop-up workshops online that are taught entirely by her two guides. Kelly, welcome to Opening the Door.
Hey, thanks so much for having me. I'm super excited to chat with you today.
Yeah, so excited to have you on and to give people, listeners, a little bit of background. So you have heard Kelly's husband, Nathaniel, on episode 69 of the podcast about astral travel. And now we're having Kelly on. And Kelly was mentioned, I think, in the beginning of that episode as well. So, and at the end too.
Yeah, so, he's pretty great.
Yeah, I like him. He's so fantastic. Like talking you up, talking the two of you work up together. I'm like, I absolutely love to see a psychic mediumship couple like doing that together. So that is, first of all, that is so cool that the two of you do that, this work together. And if anybody listening wants to hear Kelly and Nathaniel talk together on an episode, you can go head over to our friend Juan's podcast, Third Eye Sight, and you can hear them chat together on an episode. So if you're interested in hearing them together and their dynamic, go ahead and get yourself over to Third Eye Sight. So shout out Juan for, you know, bringing you guys also to my attention.
He's great.
So before we get into sort of your work of trance channeling, can you just tell us a little bit about your own spiritual journey and where that all began for you?
Yeah, for sure. So I was born into a strange family of people who are very open-minded and spiritual people, and it was never made into a weird thing for me. So we talked to spirits as a family. I listened to Esther Hicks channeling in the car on the way to preschool. We stood outside at night and tried to hold our fingers up at dusk to see if we could see our auras. We used to practice telepathy waiting for the pizza to come at our favorite restaurant. Like this was
so
just
fun. Kind of,
I don't know. Yeah, it's how I grew up. So in so many ways, I don't think I ever had to find my spiritual connection as much as I had to embrace new aspects of it as I grew into an adult, because it was always there. It was always part of my life. I can remember really early on, I used to feel my guide pet my hair at night. If I was, I don't know, you know, like when you're a kid and you're moving into your own room and you're like, but I feel really lonely, I'd be like, hey, could you just pet my head tonight? And I would just feel that. And I'd be like, oh, okay, I can go to sleep. I'm okay. Mm. So I guess where my spiritualist started was when I was born.
Yeah.
But I think it really took off in so many ways once Nate and I met. And then he and I and our other best friend had some really incredible spirit encounters together. And I'm sure he talks a little bit about this as well. But those spirit encounters together really pushed us onto this path in a, this is kind of everything way, instead of a, this is just kind of my life and I can't separate from it.
So cool. Okay. First, I just want to say, like, how cool to grow up in a, like, a family that was so open about the magic of the world. I just think that is so, so cool and special. So
it really was.
Yeah, that is really, really cool. So how did you, I guess, like, the first question I have coming off of that is, how did you, so obviously you had, you know, you were able to sort of work with or understand those abilities early in your life, but how did you come to understand your, like, trance channeling abilities a little bit more?
Yeah, so I think for me, this was more like tripping into something you were always going to do. I'm a very connection-based person. I really love people. I love deeply connecting with people, and I always have. So when I started connecting more with spirit on a regular basis, it just felt like we were really close. And at some point, I realized that spirit could move stuff, right? They had a higher propensity for moving stuff. I think Ouija boards honestly came up a lot because they seem to be able to move the planchette. And I know it's a super hot topic and very controversial, but ultimately I saw it as, if a spirit can move a piece of plastic for someone, why on earth couldn't they move my hand? I'm way more organic. Why not move me? So I tried. And I was in a college like workroom class after like hours in a practice room, essentially. And there's a big whiteboard. So I picked up a marker, I put it on the whiteboard, and I was like, move my hand. Let's do this. And so then one of my guides started writing. I was like, oh, okay. So I sat down at the piano because I was in an arts conservatory, and he started playing. And he played a song I didn't recognize, and Nate recognized it. And I was like,
whoa.
Oh, so you can move me. Okay. So then I was like, wait, if you can move my hand, why can't you move my whole body? So now I'm being danced around the room with this spirit guide, and I'm having a ball. And it kind of started that way. And then slowly things started happening that were more profound, because I had kind of created that barrier, I guess. I made that barrier more permeable. And so I woke up one day doing a healing on myself mid-healing. So I was already in trance doing some sort of healing on myself, and it honestly healed something that had been bothering me for years. I used to get aggressively cold all the time. I was just always cold. And after that healing, I've never had that issue. Like, I can get cold if I'm in the snow or something, don't get me wrong, but it was a bizarre amount of coldness all the time, and then it just went away. So I was like, okay, so that's working. So I think from there, then I started just trying to, I guess I stayed with, those are honestly mostly my personal guides I was working with at that time. And I think as my life changed and my goals changed, I kind of started asking spirit and being like, hey, I'm looking for someone to work with. And Nate and I kind of were together in that. And we were like, we're looking for a team that wants to help our spiritual growth where we are now with our goals now. Once I connected with those guides, that's when the like deep trance speaking and the deep levels of trance healing I'm doing now really took off. So I think it kind of took the right partnership too.
Wow. Okay. That is just so cool. So,
it was really trippy.
Yeah. So the question I have, so when you did that first trance experience, did you set an intention before? Because I think a lot of people, when they think about like automatic writing and trance work, there's like that fear that's like, what if something creepy comes through? And obviously, like when you're giving up a little autonomy, you know, like, so did you set an intention for your highest and best good, or were you just like, I know a guide is going to come through, like, I feel safe doing this?
I was already talking with my guide a lot, and I knew he was the one trying to blend with me.
Gotcha.
So it wasn't a stranger. And I think that's the thing for me with trance in general and channeling and all of these things. I'm kind of like a date you before you take over my body kind of person. So
as you should be.
I spend time getting to know the spirits before I try to blend with them that way, because it's intimate. It's really personal. And it takes a huge level of trust. But this was the guy that had been petting my hair when I was 6 or 12 or when I had a bad day in high school. So I wasn't exactly shocked at the thought that this, you know, this being that had always comforted me in my life would be willing to grab a marker and write in a board for me, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that relationship is probably a huge cornerstone of why I'm so able to go so deep and so, like, go with so much control. You know, it's a trust fall.
For
but
sure.
It's a trust fall with someone you trust.
Yeah, absolutely. So if somebody's listening and they're like, wait, hold up, I don't even know what trance channeling is, can you describe for us or define for us what that is?
Yeah. And also, let me start by saying there's no definition. And I think that's part of what's so confusing in this field in general. We don't have language that crosses continents. We don't have language that even crosses fields of study. So we're all using different terms for the same stuff.
Yeah.
So channeling is actually the US term for this, whereas trance speaking or trance healing is usually what they use in the UK. I kind of put them together to kind of make it as clear as possible. So trance channeling is pretty much the ability to get out of the driver's seat of your conscious and body, put yourself away for a minute, and let a spirit talk through you, move through you, speak through you, heal through you. Pretty much communicate with the outside world as if they've borrowed your body. The three things that I had a great teacher, Jackie Wright, who said that I really love, so I'll quote her, is that there needs to be a clear presence felt. There needs to be wisdom that is not obvious. So like, the sky is blue, love is love. Is that wise? It's true. But, you know, something that actually has real wisdom, and then a solid flow of communication, that there's actually a flow. I think those three things are a great way to define it. Tony Stockwell and another teacher I worked with really broke down the difference between channeling a sense of something. So like, if I'm downloading information from my higher self and I'm speaking that, I'm channeling. But to be fully in a trance speaking state, another spirit will be coming through me to do the talking in their language with their cadence.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So that's kind of some of the information I've worked with. But I think overall, think of it as another spirit is borrowing my body to share wisdom, insight, and healing.
Cool. Yeah, I like that sort of definition and delineation for sure. That's super helpful.
Yeah, and I want to give credit to the people who said it, because again, it's not a universal thing. It's different teachers talking about it different ways and how that comes together, I think, in my life.
You had teachers in this. So that's great for people listening who might be interested in like getting to try to experience this themselves. What does it feel like when you channel, or like when you're getting into the mode to do channeling work?
Yeah, so for me, it's changed a lot over the years. It started obviously with a much longer meditation process and a much longer letting go and relinquishing control process. At this point, I honestly like kind of can't wait to let go of control. I'm like, oh yeah, take over my body. We're good. So so for me, I actually just imagine a rock dropping in water, and cool. I'm the rock. And so I feel that sense of floating and falling. And for me, I think consent and permission is really important, even with spirit. So I always say, I give you complete control in this moment. And I would like to set aside being human for a minute and let you guys run it. Mm. For me, that's the greatest gift of channeling right now, personally. Well, that's not really true. Their wisdom is probably the greatest gift. And then their healing. And then, and then the lovely gift is that I get to take a break from being human. It's almost like I stop existing for a little bit. Mm. And it's the deepest nap, the most rejuvenative sleep that you can imagine, because it's not just that you're turning off for a little while. It's that you're actually unplugging from everything it is to have charge of your body, to be in control of yourself. And it's honestly fantastic. I come out of it feeling so relaxed and so rejuvenated and healed, and like I've gotten a really great break. Sometimes, depending on how deep the information is, I might feel emotional, or like emotion has moved through my body. Even if I don't really remember what was said, I still feel it in my body, like, oh, we felt something. But even that, yeah, okay, then you got a really great rejuvenative nap and like had emotions that day.
How did you learn, like, what, as I'm listening to you, my first question coming out is, how did you learn to let go so completely?
You know, I think that really is the piece that is the challenge. It wasn't all in one day. Mm-hmm. I think some of that is building up that trust and communication, talking with them in my mind, listening to them, seeing the positive effects that their words were having on other people and me built trust. I think also knowing that they needed a voice. I think there was such a great instinct in me that they needed to speak and they couldn't be heard. They had this crazy amount of wisdom and it was never going to be heard if I couldn't get out of the way. And it made it really motivating. The other thing, one of my guides, the one that I really started interacting with first, she pretty much put me on a really strict regimen. We had to do a half an hour channeling practice every day. She would give me exercises to do. Sometimes, no joke, we would sit there and just make sound. We wouldn't even say words. She'd just activate my vocal cords. It was weird and embarrassing and awkward. And I used to send Nate in the other room and be like, don't listen, I'm embarrassed. So embarrassing. And I would tell her this. I'd be like, but you're embarrassing me, like a teenager talking to their mom. And I was just whining at her. And she'd just tell me again and be like, this is for everyone's greatest good. You want this. And I'd be like, yeah, I do. Sometimes she'd give me homework assignments. I'd have to go journal about certain topics. Like, I got schoolwork.
Yeah, I love that part of your learning to do this was learning through spirit. I just think that is really, really cool.
Almost all of it. I honestly didn't start taking lessons till I was even already fully doing this fluidly, because they had a lot that they wanted me to go through. Mm-hmm. So I was full for a while just trying to do their work. Once I got that all done, then I was like, oh, I should probably go study this outside of myself just to see what the world is like.
Yeah, that's really cool. I love that. I like the mix of, like, you know, self-taught, self-learning, and grabbing some classes if you feel like you need to do that.
And spirit taught.
Yeah, spirit taught. Yes, for sure. So, okay, my other question is, like, where do you, and Nathaniel and I really got into, like, the consciousness conversation too in his episode, but where do you feel like your consciousness goes when you're trance channeling?
Ooh, okay.
Because you're sort of feeling like you're getting a break, right? So I'm wondering, like, yeah, I don't know. What do you think of that? Big question also. Don't expect you to have, like, the answer.
it's a good conversation. It's actually something Nate and I talk about a lot. So it's not foreign to me to talk about. I think there's two major things that are happening. And one of them is, I think I've come up with certain mental tricks to feel that I am not in control. So for me, at first, I used to always see myself at the back of my head. So a very literal representation of I'm here, I'm just not in control. At a certain point, that only got me so far. And so I started looking for new ways to play with it that could make it easier and faster and more, I don't know, smooth, that they could get through easier that way. So at the same time I was doing this, Nate was really into this Buddhist philosophy that involved a lot of that stuff. I'm sure he talked about it. And so he started being like, hey, I think you'd really like this. And being the fact that he's usually right about things I like, since, you know, he really knows me, loves me, that stuff. So I was like, all right, let's look into this. And we did this really great Buddhist retreat. And it was really eye-opening. We talked a lot about the concept of not self. And it's not the concept of no self, which is, I think, really important, but it's recognizing that a lot of the things we identify as self are not actually self. So my arm is not actually myself. Okay, my thoughts are not actually myself, my memories, my emotions, things like that. Things we know that aren't ourselves, but we often can mistake for ourselves. One of the aggregates that they really talk about is consciousness, and that we're not our consciousness. You know, and in Buddhism, it kind of defines as that which knows or that which perceives. And I sat with that for a long time and I thought about it. I was like, I'm not my consciousness. I can let go of my consciousness. I don't, when I'm asleep, I'm not conscious. So that's not me. So then I started letting go of my consciousness and I started trying to let my consciousness merge to the point that I did not perceive. So sometimes when I'm doing trance and I'm really, really doing well, usually pretty like maybe a half hour in or something, I will completely blip out. I have no perception. I have no awareness. It's not even that I'm not, like, I usually don't remember anything that's being said anyway, really. Maybe if you recall it, I'll be like, oh, I heard the word love a bunch of times. Like, it's almost like listening back on a memory or trying to remember something that happened when you were like 10. And you're like, yeah, like I went to school. I know that, you know? And you're like, okay,
yeah. Some data
there. But when I really blip out of consciousness, I kind of think I cease to be. Like,
wow.
Or maybe I exist, but in the way that I am self, but not self. So I don't know if I really, as weird as this sounds, I don't know if my consciousness is stable because sometimes it completely goes away. Therefore, maybe consciousness isn't myself either. In which case, where am I? Is there an I that I is? I don't even know. That what I'm noticing is that their consciousness can be the primary that which knows. That which perceives, and mine can completely blip out. And in those moments, I really don't know where I am, but I don't think I could completely cease to be or I couldn't come back. So right. I'm pretty sure I exist. I just exist beyond consciousness. So I don't know. Now you have a real good question. Yeah. It looks like beyond consciousness couldn't tell you.
Holy shit. Yeah. Oh my gosh. That is okay. Yeah. So yeah, so cool. Huge conversation. Obviously, like consciousness is something that's really been fascinating me, like I would say the last 6 months or, you know, the last year maybe. So I appreciate you sort of riffing on that and just sort of playing with that idea. That is so fascinating.
Yeah. What does it feel like? And honestly, I feel that I have to at least say it. Nate is so much better at explaining the Buddhism concepts than me. So if this was unclear, maybe listen to his podcast. It probably was better said. I'm just talking about it in the way it responds to channeling for me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And if for anybody's forgetting, his episode is episode 69. I think he did have some really good consciousness understandings and definitions in there where I was like, oh, for that minute, I was like, I get it. You know?
Yeah. He talks about it like a pro. So.
Yeah, for sure. So what does it feel like when you are like when a trance channeling session is like wrapping up and you're like coming back into your body? What does that feel like for you?
Yeah. So they actually just pull me up like there's someone's grabbing, you know, like if you're underwater and someone were to like grab your head and pull you out of water. That's yeah. What they do. They literally clap and open my eyes and I'm like ripped back.
Wow.
It's a little shocking. And a lot of times I don't know we're going to end until it's over. So yeah. Sometimes it's actually just super shocking. Sometimes someone will finish asking their questions and there'll be this moment of silence and then they'll pull me out. And I'm like, okay, well, we had a moment of silence for sure. Mm. But I would say more often it's like we're going, we talked, and now they just pulled me out and I guess I'm conscious.
Very, very cool. Like we in your bio, we talked about sort of these master guides that you work with. Can you describe them and how you came to work with those guides specifically?
Yeah. So let me start by saying how I came to work with them. So Nate and I were talking and it was, you know, we were kind of just sitting and being like, well, what do we want out of the next phase of our life? What are we looking for? And we really wanted to delve in to these abilities and to the magic of the world and the places where there's untapped potential of the human mind and of the human energy system. And we realized that we were having a really hard time finding the right teachers in the right price bracket that we could afford. And, you know, to the degree we wanted to know stuff, we were curious all the time and hungry to find stuff out. And so we were like, what if we asked guides to come through and maybe saw if anyone on the other side wanted to mentor us since we're having trouble finding the mentors on Earth? So we did. We made a circle and we made an offering and we said, hey, we're open. We'd like this. And so we did some research too, and different entities or beings throughout history that were supposedly related to this. And I remember I personally did a meditation for each one that we had found, and some came through really strong and some never showed. And I was like, okay, so they don't want to join us. And then the ones that did, we kind of had a circle, and we kind of just had a, like, you know, seance circle kind of idea. And they came through, and we noticed things like flickering candles and weird patterns and stuff like that. But then all of a sudden, I just felt like something wanted to talk so badly through me. And I had done this before, so it wasn't foreign, but I didn't, again, I had done this meditation, I had met this spirit, but I was a little nervous. But at some point, I was just so tired of fighting my natural instinct. It's like I wanted to let go of control, and it was just fear stopping me. And finally, I realized I was just tired of being afraid of something that felt right. You know, I just trusted my instinct, it was right, and I just gave up a little control. And she started talking, and it was super choppy and mediocre work. And she still got her points across, and it was still really moving. And we were like, oh, and that's when she gave me the regimen to, like, here's how we practice, and here's what I want you to learn, and here's the projects and the activities I want you to do. And it worked. So I think it was as much of a two-way street as anything. We said, hey, we'd really like help with this. And Spirit came and said, hey, we'd really like to help you. So
wow.
I know, it's kind of beautiful when you look at it. It's,
yeah,
we asked and they asked back, and then we formed a relationship. I so jokingly,
cool.
Yeah, I jokingly say there's a lot of dating in spirit. Like when you're trying to find your right channel, buddy, it's like, just because someone gets along with you doesn't mean they're the one. Mm. So I feel like with these spirits, once we started working together, it was that, like, oh, you're the one, I can tell, you know?
Yeah.
So there was that instant chemistry, but then it kind of turns into something more real. And I don't mean it romantically, but I just mean that there is that kind of relationship where it's personal.
Yeah, for sure. I'm trying to figure out, like, what's my next question here. So,
well, you asked me about who they were too.
Yeah. Yeah. Do they have names?
Yeah.
Do you want to sort of describe how do they work? Do you channel both of them at once? Like, how does that process
Yeah.
work
so the you? First guide I started working with was Hecate, and she's not an uncommon name. We've heard of her presence on Earth lots. I think how she is with me is a little different than she always shows up with everyone. She's a dark goddess. And I say that because she embraces the shadow self, the negative emotions for good, the difficult situations that help us grow. But she's so good and she's so loving. my uncle calls her like a linebacker of truth. And I think that's pretty accurate. But she does talk about darker subjects a lot, and in a way that, at least for me, I can't tell you how many times I've listened back to what she said, and I've just been like moved to tears, because I'm like, you care so much that you will fight through those difficult moments with me to help me grow. So tough love, yeah, but in the way that you're like, man, if anyone else said this, I don't know if I'd feel as loved, but when you say it, it's like a brick house of love. So that's Hecate. And Freya is, she's a much more smiley, gentle, maternal energy. And she's also so loving in a pink cloud kind of way. And she actually talks more, even though Hecate brought her in. Hecate was the first one I worked with. She brought Freya in. And Freya's almost always starts every workshop, almost always starts every session, because she's the one who wants to tell you and talk to you and meet you where you are, and is gentle and kind and understanding and smiley and makes you feel good. And she's the healer most of the time. And yeah, so they're really kind of a tag team duo. If you want, I could go into trance and have them tell you about themselves.
Yeah, let's do it. Oh my goodness. Yeah, let's go.
Should take me a couple seconds to drop in, but
no worries. Take your time. Very cool.
You can still hear me from back here, right?
Yep.
Hello. We are ready. Would you like to hear about us?
I would love to hear about you.
We are very happy to speak with so many people. This is quite an honor. I am indeed the one that is smiley. You can tell because my face is full of smile. I am currently healing you because although you are quite a happy being, you deserve healing. If you wanted to know something very personal about me, it's that I am the figure that you may all call to. When you feel alone or lost, I am a being that will always come to you. There is never a time where I do not want to be of service to humans. It is my mission as much as some of yours is to connect with us.
I am. I am the other spirit, and I am not open to connecting with all beings, but my love for all beings is infinite. It is not that I am selective, but instead that the natural compatibility with most people does not exist with me. I am not unkind, but the darkness that I bring and the understanding of challenges and dark, difficult moments is not compatible with all humans. Therefore, I do not connect with many. But when I do connect with you, you will feel that you are always sheltered by my strength. If you have any questions, you may ask us now. We are always willing to receive questions.
Do you enjoy working with Kelly? What is working with Kelly like for you?
She is a human and therefore flawed, but she is a flawed human that we find endearing, one that we are happy to help because her great goal is to help others, and therefore we will always find ways to help her because of her goals and her purity.
Well, I am so, so grateful that you came through and that people sort of get to hear your voice.
Yes. We would also like to tell you how much we are happy that not only will people hear our voice, but they can hear our messages of love. It is so important to know that although you may feel fear of spirit at times because of the different forms that we come in compared to you, our love is constant for you, and we are always looking to see how we can love you more, how we can help you to feel safe and whole in yourself. Because that is truly how you deserve to feel.
And we're out.
Wow. Thank you so much. That was really, really cool to witness. I think people are gonna love hearing
that. I
don't
know what they said, so I hope it was all good.
I can't wait until you listen to the episode and you hear what they said. And their voices come through really differently from you.
I've been a singer my whole life, and I've been trying to mimic them, and I'm terrible at it, apparently. I'm not, even with my great knowledge of the voice, apparently I'm still very bad at mimicking them.
Yeah, that was really, really cool. It's interesting how they switch between messages also. Yeah, and it's very clear who is, like, who's there and who's speaking. So, wow, thank you so much for, like, dropping in and having them come through on the podcast. How cool.
Yeah, I figured it would be a little fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Super fun. So that's like also a little taste of your work, which I think, you know, people will love to hear. So if you are sort of interested in working with Kelly and like booking a little private session, there's your little taste of what you might receive. So
yeah, and in my private sessions, you can, if you do a guidance session, you can ask whatever you want. They're great about answering questions. I think I've asked them everything from like, what should I be eating for dinner, all the way through what is like the point of life. So they're very down with most questions. The only thing that they don't do is if you ask something that will harm you to know, then they'll be like, we'd love to answer, but we can't because it's bad for you.
Fascinating. I was offered to ask a question and I decided to, keep it interview wise. And I asked, you know, what is it like to work with Kelly? So
I'll listen back and say, you don't have to repeat it all.
Yeah. But it was so great. So I was like, oh my gosh, wait, I'm in an interview right now with like not Kelly anymore. You know, I was like, holy shit, wait. I think we kind of already went over this, but so you don't really remember what happens in channeling sessions. Is that right?
Not really. It's pretty vague. Like, probably if you imagine like you had a dream, but you woke up and did something else, and someone's like, hey, do you remember that dream you had? And you're like, I remember dreaming. And I remember saying after I woke up, I had a dream. And I felt this way when I was dreaming. But like, what did I dream? I don't know. It slipped my mind. That's kind of what it feels like. When I completely blip out of consciousness, I have no idea. But if I'm not, if like I'm just really, really far away and my consciousness is turned down to like 0.5. So like, it's not gone, but it's not really there.
Yeah. And do you feel your body too? Because you like clap between, or they clap between transferring messages if there's like one or the other, right? So do you feel your body moving or not like really. Not really?
I'm completely detached from the experience and mostly unconscious. So even if I'm not completely blipped out 100%, I'm 98% blipped out. So like, it's pretty much like they can do whatever they want. If I got like, I don't know, say I ran into something and like really hurt myself, yeah, I'd probably be pulled back because right. That's pretty stark. But like, I feel my hands stinging from the clap now a little bit, but I didn't feel it at the time. Yeah, big claps. They've done trance work where apparently Nate's told me I've been in like a pretty deep squat for like an hour and I'm not even aware because I don't really have any connection to my body. Yeah. So yeah, I'm about as out of it as you can get. Like you're napping. I'm napping.
Yeah. Cool. And this wasn't on my question list, but I think it's a great one to ask. What are some of your favorite overall messages that these two have brought through for you?
Oh, for me personally or for people?
Either one, whatever you want to share.
I think the message they share the most with people is that they're trying to love you and that spirit is so open and affectionate and kind and good. And they're just kind of waiting for you to reach back. Mm-hmm. That it's this really effortless, I guess, connection because they're already committed to loving humans. So if you want to love them back, it's not a lot, you know, that's all it takes. Yeah. So I think, and they're constantly telling people like, we love you and we want to be there for you. And, you know, I think that's been just a huge message. I think for me personally, they've worked with me so much on self-acceptance and self-love that sometimes I'm overwhelmed during the playback. They also like, they find, at least for me, like they find those pain points and they take them apart and they help me look at them. I think one of the most profound conversations Hecate had with Nate that I listened back to for me was she told me I'm always asking to connect deeper and I use my sensitivity to do that. But when my sensitivity comes up in daily life, I judge myself for the same gift that I use later. And she called me on that so hard. I was like, you can't have it both ways. You want to connect with us? You want to throw yourself into that sensitivity 100% for spirit? Then you've got to love that part of yourself when you're not connecting with us.
Mm. Ooh,
and things like that, where I was like, oh, powerful, hard to accept. Took me like a month of re-listening to it to feel like I really let that in. Yeah. But I mean, that was pretty life-changing for me. It made me stop judging myself. It helped me to see myself as, you know, good when I'm working with spirit and good when I'm not. So
yeah, that's big and powerful. And I think super helpful also for people listening, because I think, yeah, when you do this work or you're sort of delving into it, there is a ton of crossover between like your spiritual life and your like personal life, whatever's going on sort of outwardly as well. So yeah, big one to remember for sure. If somebody is just interested in learning more about this type of work, or if learning about this type of work is for them, what can they do to sort of get started learning how to do this?
So I coined it linking. I call it linking. But essentially, I would start by meditating. I believe in meditation, obviously. Big meditator. We do that all the time. But start by meditating, getting your mind just a little bit less active. You don't have to be totally still. Just calm the rush of the day. And then for me, I like hands. Some people find head is a little easier, but put your hand on the table or something and see if you have a spirit friend. Maybe get to know a spirit friend. See if they can move your fingers. Just see if they can move a finger. You know, start by thinking, okay, I'm not my body. This isn't my hand. I'm not identifying with this hand. This is just a body. If this hand was cut off my body, it wouldn't be me. You know, it's not part of me necessarily. It's just attached to me. And see if that spirit friend can move your finger. See if that spirit friend can maybe jostle your head a little. You know, if they can move you. But I guess maybe even before that, maybe try meditating and asking for a spirit who wants to be your friend. You know, you can state your goals and dreams and see if someone aligns with them.
Ooh, I love that. I love the idea of really inviting spirit to work with you that you've brought through as a thread throughout this episode. I think that that is just really special.
It's a two-way street.
Yeah. I had a question and then it like left my head. Oh yeah. Do you have any tips for like grounding or spiritual hygiene? I don't know if hygiene is the right word, but like spiritual hygiene when you come out of a session, like what do you sort of do to take care of your spiritual body and stuff like that?
Yeah. So coming out of a session, I probably feel better than I do any other time of day. So if they put me in trance or if I go into trance, I'm probably going to come out healed. There's been one time, it's only happened once, but I was in a trance channeling session with Nate and we were just, he was talking to them, we had something to ask and they were like, nope, I got to heal my human before I can do anything else. And they just had us wait for 10 minutes while they did a whole healing on me and then they would talk with him. And it's only happened once, but I guess I was having a really hard week and they wanted to do a healing before they were willing to do any work. Yeah. So, you know, so I will say, obviously I feel great coming out of trance. But other times of day, I do a lot of reactivity practice. So I do a lot of trying to just like ground and literally thinking about your hands or thinking about your feet or peeling your body down like a banana or something and having it go down and feel the tingles in your hands and feet. That helps ground me a lot. I do that a lot. I'm a big earth person. So I'm always looking to get out to nature. I feel like nature grounds me in a way nothing else does. It kind of shakes me up and loosens me up and makes me feel at peace. So I'm getting out and talking to my mountains and trees all the time. And we live somewhere where we can, so that's amazing. But I find nature is really grounding. I also do a lot of like clearing out practice, not really with them because they don't really stick to me. They're either channeling or they're not in my space. Like they'll be near me like guides, but I don't feel slimed. So if I'm, I don't know, going to the grocery store and I come back, I'll often stop and imagine anything that's gunky or sticky kind of flowing out the bottom of my feet. And then I'll pull back my energy in and feel that expand out. I'll feel my aura expand out. For me, it kind of feels like, I don't know, if you've been wearing a tight dress and you take it off and you're like, oh.
Yeah.
For me, it's that feeling with my aura all the time. I'm like, oh, I can finally breathe. I spread my aura out. So I do that a lot where I'm like, yeah, I don't have to feel confined. If there's a lot of people around me, I'll feel myself shrink down and become more like shrink wrapped. And so as soon as I'm home, I clear out, I bring my energy back in, and I just sprawl out with my aura.
Nice.
So those are probably the three practices I use the most. Oh, and I'm going to say meditation again. I know I keep saying it, but we do about an hour meditation every morning and it's great. Sometimes I chat with my guides. Sometimes I do a really great concentration practice and I do really formal meditation. But I need that time. I need that time where it's okay for me to just be quiet and focus on my needs. And if I have no pressing need, be concentrated. It's like going to the gym for your brain.
Ooh, yeah. Ooh, I love that analogy. Definitely, for sure. This has been such a fun conversation, Kelly. I have one last question. And that is, how can someone who's listening right now open their door a little bit more to their natural, intuitive, psychic mediumship abilities?
I'm going to actually go ahead and gently, incorrectly quote the guides from our last trance teaching workshop. They talked about how one of the greatest ways you can bring enlightenment to yourself is to connect to the greater reality. And that it doesn't matter how you're connecting, even just connecting to a person outside of yourself. Thinking, can I feel what they're feeling? Can I be empathetic to their situation? Or reading a book and delving into it and letting yourself connect to universal emotion or universal experiences that someone tapped into to write that book or write that movie script. Even something as small as that helps you connect to the greater reality. And when you do, letting it penetrate, letting it get into your heart and say, I am not alone. It's not a me-centered universe. The universe is vast and expansive and incredible. And obviously when I'm channeling, I'm talking to, you know, a disincarnate being who's coming through my body to talk to you. Like, that's crazy. But it lets me feel close to the magic and the majesty of all that's out there. That's so much greater than my little limited experience as a human. So I think anything you can do to connect to the greater reality really, really helps you open your door.
Love that. So, so cool. And where can listeners find you if they want to learn more about this really cool work that you're doing?
Yeah, so I'm on modernmonks.net with Nathaniel. We're buddies and we do this. And, you know, it's great because we both take different stuff, but we work together all the time. I'm on Instagram under Channel with Kelly. And so you can find me there. I post there most of the time. So you'll see a lot of stuff from me. I post stuff from my workshops. You can find the links to my workshops or to my private sessions on Instagram or on the website. And yeah, that's mostly it. I'm not really a natural social media person. So if you go to my Instagram, I'm doing stuff because I want to talk to you, not because I love social media. So please talk to me about spirit. That's what I like to talk about.
Cool. So amazing. Kelly, thank you. Thank you. Thank you as well to Freya and Hecate for coming through as well and giving us a little, you know, descriptor and taste of your work. Can't wait for you to listen to that back also. And yeah, thank you so, so much for being here.
Thank you. It was wonderful chatting with you.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. If you love the podcast, don't forget to rate and leave a review wherever you listen. Follow me on Instagram at Opening the Door Podcast and visit my website, openingthedoorpodcast.com, to explore my reading offerings, digital downloads, and more. Plus, subscribe to my email list to be the first to know about OTD news and offerings.